Hello, it's Wednesday, August 2nd, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. It's burning up back here in Happy Valley. Almost 100 degrees today. I guess this is going to last until the weekend. And it's no different in most of the country also. So I guess we're in this summer for the long run. Now, before we get to some updates on what's going on in the war over in the Middle East, a couple quick announcements. First of all, we received our copies of 9/11 Evil yesterday. We're going to have this posted on the website Friday. This is the new book about 9/11 that I wrote. It's subtitled Israel's Central Role in the September 11, 2001 Terrorist Attacks. It came out beautiful. We also call it the most dangerous book ever written about 9/11. It's a 50-year anniversary edition. All completely original material. Never before seen anywhere, in print or on the internet. So definitely, this is something to take a look at. And we're especially curious to see how others now, other prominent members of the 9/11 Truth Movement, are going to deal with this book. Will they ignore it like they do with so much other information regarding 9/11? Or will they finally put this out there and say, if we're going to look at this subject, why don't we look at it in its entirety instead of just little pieces here and little pieces there? So this Friday, 9/11 Evil will be available on the Wing TV homepage, and we can't wait for people out there to see it. We also have some reviews that have already been written for it, which we'll be posting next week also. Secondly, we'd like to thank Visigoth. We did a simulcast of sorts yesterday where at 11 o'clock when we were doing his show from the Grassy Knoll, while he was broadcasting live, we were also recording here on our end and were able to upload the show later in the afternoon. The sound quality on our end wasn't perfect. I was a little bit higher than he was in volume. But all in all, the subject matter, I think, made up for it. We talked about Edward Bernays' book, Propaganda. And we just like to thank him. It took a little bit of time before the show to just get everything in sync. Finally, we want to thank everybody for sending their input for our latest Wing TV poll. What is the best New World Order book ever written? We're going to publish the results not this Friday, but the Friday after. And what we're also going to do is, to coincide with that, a couple months ago I made a list of what I felt were the top 10 best New World Order books. So we're going to simultaneously publish not only my top 10, but also the top votes that came from the Wing TV viewers. So I'm looking forward to that, and I think it's going to be a real good cross-section of not only people that have been in this field for a long time, what they should look at if they haven't already read it, but also there's so many newcomers that this will be a way for them to get an idea of not only what we think are the best books, but also what you think too. So if you haven't sent a submission in yet, please do. We'll post them not this Friday, but the Friday after. So what we're going to do today is, first of all, Lisa's going to update us on what's going on in the Middle East. And then when she's done, we're going to go over some news that we've kind of overlooked since everybody's paying so much attention to what's going on with Israel and Lebanon and so forth. So we're going to look at some news that we've glossed over or kind of pushed to the side and update everybody on that. So I'm going to turn it over to Lisa now, and she's going to update everybody on what's going on in the Middle East.
We now turn our focus to the Middle East. Up to 19 more civilians reported killed by Israeli airstrikes as Israel launched even deeper attacks into Lebanon. The deaths included 4 children. The place that was attacked was called Jemalaya, near the eastern Lebanese city of Baalbek, where Israel claimed it had killed up to 10 Hezbollah fighters and seized 5 more. Of course, everybody Israel kills is Hezbollah, according to them. Today's raids come just 3 days after the massacre at Qana, which prompted international condemnation, yet little else. And let's recall that the indiscriminate bombing of Qana was the bombing of civilians in the Lebanese village, which killed 54 civilians. Among those, 37 were children. Now, what's obvious, and should be obvious to everybody, is that children are paying the ultimate price and bearing the brunt of this war. They're being killed, injured, displaced, and orphaned. 828 Lebanese civilians killed. That's the last count I've been able to get. Around 290 children. That puts it at about 35% children killed so far. One-third of the children, one-third of the dead are children, according to UNICEF. There are no official numbers yet to account for the wounded children. UNICEF says that 45% of the estimated 900,000 Lebanese who fled their homes are children. Now, children often suffer the most in wars like these, where there are heavy civilian casualties because they're weaker, they're too small to run, walk, too frightened to flee a lot of the time, and they may suffer more on long journeys. And these children in Lebanon are literally shell-shocked. They're going to be scarred for life. There's something else I need to tell you about here. The UJA, the United Jewish Appeal Federation, they're launching a fundraising campaign, Victor, to respond to this crisis, facing the Israeli people. They are raising money. They want to raise $60 million. That's their goal. They've already appropriated $10 million from their General Reserve Fund to immediately send to Israel. Now, why? Now, the Lebanese people are suffering the worst of this war. Yet, this money that's being raised is going to be sent to Israeli people. They say that this war will leave deep scars on the Israeli people, who will need monetary help after being affected by these things, having to spend time in bomb shelters, having to endure this gnawing fear, and the unimaginable loss of loved ones. 51, I believe, Israelis have been killed so far. 51, compared to almost 900 Lebanese.
I guess nobody over there has seen the pictures of the Lebanese individuals.
Well, they've seen them. I'm getting to that. The funds from the UJA are going to be used to provide Israeli children with a summer camp experience. Can you believe this? The Lebanese children are not going to see a summer, okay, that isn't shell-shocked and with mortars dropping and rockets falling on their houses. Many of them will never see another day, but the Israeli children will have a safe summer camp experience. Direct aid is also going to be given to widows and orphans of fallen Israeli soldiers. And who's going to help the Lebanese orphans? Who's helping the Palestinian orphans? Anybody? Anybody out there? Israeli government has thrown its weight behind efforts of supporters to counter negative bias and what the Israeli government terms pro-Arab propaganda. The foreign ministry has ordered trainee diplomats to track websites, chat rooms, and discussion forums so that Israel supporters can place messages supportive of Israel on sites that are currently negative. In the past week, 5,000 members of the World Union of Jewish Students, that's WUJS, have been monitoring websites, discussion forums, chat rooms, etc., in order to influence opinion surveys or alter the course of debates when it comes to Israel and Lebanon.
Now let me jump in here, Lisa, because this sounds to me like verifiable proof of everything we've been talking about for the last couple years on this show, how there are paid spooks and trolls and moles in these chat rooms and on these message boards that are specifically there for one reason, to counter what everyday people are posting on these boards. So what they're doing is, this is a very heavy-handed way of, in this instance anyway, promoting the Jewish cause. But when we come to the alternative media, we've said many, many times, there's these paid spammers and these paid trolls in these various message boards that are in there supporting figure A, B, or C when they are taking a lambasting in it. So this is proof. You're giving people now proof how suspect we have to be of these message boards.
This story came out July 28th. It's on the Times Online. Anybody can read it. One member of this international group, WUJS, stated, "We're saying to these people, if Israel is being bashed, don't ignore it. Change it." And so they're changing it by getting these students or these trainee diplomats to besiege discussion boards and websites and chat rooms with pro-Israeli commentary in order to try to alter the course of debate or change public opinion polls, etc. They're trying to turn the tide of public opinion Israel's way.
And you know, another thing we have to notice is, again, the organization of these people. Compare them to what we have. What does this Patriot movement, what organization do we have? We've been saying for years, there's no organization like this, but Israel's only been in this war for 3 weeks now, and they've already organized 5,000 people to be trolls and moles and spooks on these various internet boards.
You have to think these people are brainwashed. They're being brainwashed by their own propaganda. They actually believe it. Israel's foreign ministry's not supposed to have any direct contact with this campaign, having to do with the chat rooms, etc. But it is in contact with international Jewish and evangelical Christian groups distributing internet information packs to them. So, Israel's foreign ministry director, Amir Gison, says this: "Our problem is the foreign media shows Lebanese suffering, but not Israeli. We're bypassing that filter by distributing pictures showing how northern Israelis suffer from Katyusha rocket attacks." You know what he's talking about, foreign media showing Lebanese suffering? He's talking about the internet. Because if you listen to the mainstream, while they have lately been showing the other side of the coin, people like Rush Limbaugh are not doing any harm to Israel. They're promoting this as a war of opportunity. They're applauding the savagery of Israel.
Rush Limbaugh calls it Israel's gift to the world.
The most truth you're going to find about this war is on the internet. And so that's why these Jewish students are targeting internet chat rooms, websites, discussion boards, etc., to try to turn people Israel's way. And so they can, I guess, raise more money for Israeli children to have a safe summer camp experience. How pathetic. Go ahead.
Well, here's a good quote from Mr. Alan Dershowitz. We all know him. He was one of OJ's big lawyers. And he wrote in the LA Times recently, he was talking about the war over there, and he says, when it comes to women and children, okay, he says, "Women and children can't always be counted as civilians, as some organizations do." Yeah.
What do we count them as?
I don't know.
Are we all Hezbollah now? Anybody who's not Jewish? Are we all Hezbollah? Boycott Israel.
It's unbelievable. Women and children can't always be counted as civilians. What else can they be counted as?
What planet is that guy from?
Yeah, that's Alan Dershowitz. It's unbelievable.
Oh, Alan, what was it? Terror, torture, Dershowitz?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's also the guy that supports torture.
Right.
And, one of the guys
is
very influential in getting O.J. Simpson to be able to walk free still to this day. Now, here's something that we posted on the Wing TV homepage, I think a week or so ago. But there is a Nobel Peace Prize winner named Betty Williams. And during a speech in Australia to hundreds of school children, she said this. This is reported by The Australian. She says, "I have a very hard time with this word nonviolence because I don't believe that I am nonviolent. Right now, I would love to kill George Bush."
Now, that's the Peace Prize winner.
Yeah, a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Betty Williams, I believe she's 64 years old. And very interesting.
It's hard to not have a reaction to that if you are a person of conscience and you have empathy for the suffering of other people. Not just the suffering of one particular group, but the suffering of all of humanity. And we are all suffering. Some of us obviously are suffering more than others. The people who are under direct attack in this war are suffering the most. And the most vulnerable of those victims are, of course, the children and the elderly. And the women. I mean, naturally, they are victims, and they are suffering, and I just find it disgraceful that once again, you see these people trying to raise money for the one group. Who's going to give the Lebanese children a safe summer camp experience? Who's going to give them the years of therapy that they're probably going to need to get over losing their parents? and their friends and their neighbors and their extended family members from being murdered. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Now, Lisa, we've heard a lot about this Resolution 1559, UN resolution.
Right.
And this is what the neocons, the Christian Zionists, the right-wing talk radio, Israel, and so forth, they always bring this out. Well, if Hezbollah wouldn't have defied UN Resolution 1559...
What about all the ones Israel defied?
Yeah, there wouldn't be a war right now. Well, thankfully, the American Free Press published a partial list of all the UN resolutions from 1955 to 1992 mm-hmm. that Israel has defied.
That's
now,
right.
Hopefully, what they're going to do is publish the second half of this list. But right now, there are 33 different resolutions
correct.
Listed by the American Free Press. And
Israel doesn't have to abide by UN resolutions. See, it's only when it's in Israel's favor that Israel even acknowledges a UN resolution. But there have been many, many resolutions condemning Israel for its atrocities.
Yeah, and just let me read a couple of these. This is now only up until 1992. Resolution 450, calls on Israel to stop attacking Lebanon. 444, deplores Israel's lack of cooperation with UN peacekeeping forces. Calls on Israel to withdraw from Lebanon. Condemns Israel for attacking Lebanon. Condemns Israel for attacking Lebanon. Condemns Israel for attacking Lebanon. On and on and on. Condemns Israel for attacking Lebanon. Over and over
yeah,
and over
see,
and over.
There's public outrage and there's vocal condemnation, but little else. It's not enough to just say, we condemn you for what you're doing. We need to stop Israel from what it's doing. We need to stop them so they can't do it anymore. And if that means stopping the United States government that's helping them commit this genocide, then I guess that's what needs to be done.
Resolution 265 condemns Israel for air attacks in Jordan. Resolution 262 condemns Israel for attack on Beirut Airport. Condemns Israel's raid on Jordan as flagrant violation. Let's see what else we have. Condemns Israel for its massive attacks on Karameh in Jordan. Censures Israel for its attack on Samu in the West Bank and under Jordanian control. 33 recommends Israel suspend its no man's zone in Jerusalem. Condemns Israel for raid on Syria that killed 56 people. 33 different instances where Israel has defied a UN resolution. This is only up until 1992. I bet you there's 100 more since 1992. Yet one resolution, 1559,
right.
that the Lebanese or Hezbollah defies, and it's like screaming bloody murder until the end of the world.
Yeah, why isn't your mainstream media reporting all of these prior resolutions that have not been abided by or adhered to or acknowledged by Israel? And by the rest of the world. I mean, these are UN resolutions. They're legitimate resolutions. Why are they not being abided by? Why not? Why don't they count?
This long, long list. Now, since we're speaking of war, it looks like the United States Army is going bankrupt. Now, remember, everybody, we mentioned it a couple days ago. The United States is spending $8 billion a month on our war in Iraq. That's $2 billion a week. We're giving Israel $10 billion a year in direct aid. This also includes military aid.
We're also providing at least 20% of their military budget, and that's just what we know about.
Right. It's so bad now that Fort Sam Houston in Texas has received cutoff notices on its utilities because they haven't been paying their bills. Now, what the utility companies in Texas are doing is giving this army camp a skate. They're giving them a free ride because they said in times of war they just can't go and pull the plug on them. So their electricity and their other public utilities are going to remain on, but the U.S. Army isn't even paying its bills now. $2 billion a week is squandered, is wasted, is blown over in that god-awful desert over there. The people despise us. It's 115 degrees. Our soldiers have to wear full body armor, helmets, carry around guns and backpacks. We're complaining about the weather being in the 90s here. what we're forcing these individuals to endure over there is ungodly. And now it's so bad, our own army can't even pay its domestic bills. We were building this Taj Mahal over there that's nearly the size of the Vatican in Baghdad. This 50-acre embassy over there. Not to mention all of the other bases around the Middle East that we're building. And
remember, I was talking to you, what was it, this morning. I was reading a story about Israel, about these protests in Tel Aviv, where Israelis are standing up to their government. And I was reading some responses to the article that were posted underneath this article. And they were calling, some of these Jewish people were calling the protesters, the Israeli protesters in Tel Aviv, they were calling them self-hating Jews. And it's kind of ironic that the Jews with conscience, the Israelis with conscience, are being labeled self-hating Jews, isn't it?
Well,
because that's what they are. They're people of conscience. This is a war between people that don't have a conscience, psychopaths, against who prey upon people of conscience. And there are people of conscience within the Jewish communities. And those are the ones speaking out and standing up and resisting this war and this savagery and this genocide and the slaughter and massacre of innocent people.
So if you hate war,
but
hate murder,
their fellow Jews call them self-hating Jews.
Yeah. So if you hate war, murder, genocide, slaughter, and bloodshed, then you're a self-hating Jew. So in other words, the only way you can be a self-loving Jew is if you love everything evil. I mean, the twisted thinking,
yeah,
the rationale is so foreign, so alien, that it's hard for normal, sane people to even comprehend what type of thought process is being used over there in the Middle East. And, you know, one last thing, in the cost of war, we've now surpassed $300 billion total. Think.
Well, they'll just print more.
Yeah.
That's
just
all.
Think. When you drive around your local community, look at the roads, look at the buildings and the bridges and so forth, and think. The schools, the hospitals.
Yep.
Think of what $300 billion plus could do in this own country to repair the $300 billion. You can build a whole hell of a lot of things with that. And we're just, it's like there's a huge money pit in the Middle East.
Yeah,
and we're just,
they're only interested in building on their own military bases in Iraq and
yeah,
so forth. They're not interested in improving what's here in this country and the liberating that's going on. They're just liberating people from their life. They're liberating people from taking their next breath. They're liberating children from their next birthday. They're liberating everybody over there from tomorrow.
That's right. Now, here's another story, Lisa, that we reported on the Wing TV homepage, but we haven't had a chance to speak about or discuss. Everybody knows Rupert Murdoch from News Corp. He's also the main figurehead at Fox News.
Uh-huh.
Now, everybody thinks of Rupert Murdoch, staunch Republican, right? Neocon, he has Bill O'Reilly and Britt Hume and William Kristol, all these people on his network. They have a very definite pro-Bush, pro-war, pro-Israel stance, okay? But a couple weeks ago, guess who Rupert Murdoch had a secret breakfast fundraiser for?
Please don't say Hillary.
Hillary Clinton.
Ugh.
Now, this didn't make it. This wasn't widely disseminated. People didn't spend hours and hours on CNN or on Fox News discussing this. It wasn't on talk radio. But Rupert Murdoch, secret fundraiser, a breakfast fundraiser for Miss Hillary Clinton. Also, guess what? He's also meeting with and having fundraiser luncheons for John McCain.
What do you know?
So, just like Bush Kerry in 2004, where both candidates were bought, sold, and controlled,
mm-hmm,
it looks like already now, Hillary and John McCain bought, sold, and controlled. You see different stories.
They're priming the pump.
Well, and different pictures of them. They're patting each other on the back. They're yucking it up. Even, we posted a story a couple days ago, I think it happened over the weekend, that Hillary challenged John McCain to a contest where they're doing shots. Who can down the most, I believe it was vodka, So they're buddy-buddy now, just like George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton. They're all buddy-buddy now. And
it's just political theater for public consumption.
So what you're going to do is if Hillary gets the Dem nomination and McCain gets the Republican nomination, they'll go out and have their debates and they'll sling a little bit of fake mud at each other.
And then after, they'll go out and sling some shots.
Yeah, and then they'll go back behind the curtain and laugh it up and say, look at the idiots out there that actually believe this professional wrestling show we just put on. So Rupert Murdoch having fundraisers for both Hillary Clinton and John McCain, and it just gets worse and worse by the minute. Now, there is some good news.
There is?
Good news here.
What is it?
The big New World Order. The Bilderbergers and the globalists, the elitists, they've been working for the last 5 years on this World Trade Organization agreement. Well, within the last week or so, it crumbled. 5 years of work went down the drain. They weren't able to take this next step towards globalization and cement this deal.
Why not?
Well, it just fell through. There was so much bickering, so much infighting, everybody trying to get their piece of the pie.
Darn, are all the evil psychopaths at each other's throats?
Yeah. Now, the Director General of the World Trade Organization, an individual named Pascal Lamy, he said, we're in dire straits, and at this time, there aren't any new scheduled dates for discussion of this World Trade Organization agreement. So, among all the dung and all the dirt that we see, every once in a while there is a glimmer of good news.
Well, and the good news is that there's been a setback.
Right, a
in
setback.
In their evil agenda.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess we have to take it wherever we can get it.
Yeah.
Huh?
And the thing we have to keep in mind, and sometimes it's hard to believe, but these people are humans too. And even though they try to portray themselves as Olympians and demigods and those so much above us, when all is said and done, these people are human. And
I think they're subhuman because I don't think a person that has no conscience is a human. Once you lose your soul, you're not a human anymore.
Right. So they still have not only the same amount, but more greed, hatred, sickness, evil in them. And when you get all these individuals in the same room, and they're not able to hammer out an agreement, you can tell what a shock effect it has through them, through their corridors, because right now, this was the next step towards their global government. And
so what does that mean? They have to just decide to do something else?
Well, they have to start all over
another
again.
Another evil tactic?
Well, it's kind of like the European Union trying to get their constitution.
Right.
And you remember it was France, first of all, and then two or three other nations, I think Belgium and whatever, I can't remember this specific
nation. But
they
ended up going against the vote anyway. The vote ended up not counting because they weren't going to abide by the votes.
Well, but there isn't any official European Union constitution right now. And, you know, the same thing, if anybody reads our book about the free trade area of the Americas, they had already wanted this in place by like 2003, 2004, and it's still not in place. Now there's all this talk about a super highway that goes from Central America through Mexico up into the United States. All these agreements aren't final yet. They're in the works. And the only hope I think we have is that these globalists allow their evil to come to the surface more and more and essentially self-destruct. Because when I hear this talk out there about, you know, we're a critical mass, we have them on the run, we're ready to topple the New World Order. Well, we don't have any direct access to the New World Order. We don't get to see them or hear them on a daily basis. The hope we have right now is that they just eat their own, like a snake devouring its own tail.
And in the meantime, the world watches while they eat the people of the Middle East. And there's no truer sentiment. Hell is for children, and hell is what exists in the Middle East right now. And I just pray that this stops. I don't know what we can do as people of conscience, But there's got to be more and more and more people asking these kinds of questions and thinking these kinds of thoughts.
Well, I think the one thing we can do is face reality. We can't be sucked into this false hope.
There was a woman who had a shirt, "I'm bored with war." Can you believe that?
Yeah.
"I'm bored with war."
Yeah. Well, I guess she'll just go and watch Survivor or American Idol when it comes on. But we can't fall for false hope. We can't allow ourselves to be sucked into what feels good
yeah.
to us.
To the
what
people
we
who
want
tell
to
you
hear.
What you want to hear.
Right. We have to look at reality straight in the eye and see it for what it is. Another good bit of news, and this happened within the last week or so, is that the Army has ended its no-bid contract with Halliburton. Now, of course, they're just going to switch their no-bid contract to some other defense contractor, but little glimmers of hope in there, you know? And people might say, well, that doesn't mean anything. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't mean a lot, but these are Dick Cheney's big cronies here, and they just lost out on the no-bid contract, so a little glimmer of hope.
Why aren't we seeing any protests out in front of these defense contractors?
Because people aren't protesting hardly anywhere. You know, we're hoping that on September 11th, we can get tens of thousands of people up in New York City at Ground Zero. That will be a show right there, that people know the truth and are willing to go out and show the world that they know the truth. One last thing, we touched upon this briefly yesterday, or I did in my interview with Visigoth, was that Hugo Chavez is having a massive arms buildup down in Venezuela. He's buying this weaponry from the Soviet Union, 100,000 Russian-made AK-103 assault rifles, different tanks and so forth. So, as we mentioned yesterday, we have this link now between Russia and Venezuela, and also Venezuela and China. Venezuela has lots of oil. Russia has lots of oil. And for this truly to be a world war, it has to spread beyond the Middle East. And I think this right here is the next step towards a world war. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but you can see everything being put into place.
Well, we don't see any steps being taken toward diplomacy or ceasefire. We see the same old going on. And every day, every single day, the situation is worsening for the people in Lebanon, for the people in Palestine.
And the people in the United States that are going bankrupt funding these wars.
And anguishing over what they're witnessing. And we are all witnessing it. The world is watching genocide.
Yeah.
And the world does nothing to stop it.
And to show how we're being affected by this nonsense, too, go to the Wing TV homepage, an article called "Price Gouging and Hyperinflation." In the past 12 months, gasoline prices have skyrocketed 32%. Heating oil, before the last spike in prices, in 1 year's time, skyrocketed 25%. 25% in 1 year for heating oil, 32% for gasoline. That's not inflation. That's hyperinflation. Right now, gasoline was jacked to $2.99 in Happy Valley today.
What did that idiot say, Bush? He said, yeah, there'll be no price gouging in America.
Uh-huh.
Does everybody remember when he said that on TV?
His State of the Union address, no price gouging. Well, give me any other definition of what's taking place at the gasoline pumps, and you tell me, or give me any other word for a 32% increase in anything. That's called hyperinflation, and it affects everything that we do now. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for tuning in to Wing TV. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.